Robbie Williams and Millennium right here on East Point Radio, the friendly one, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's 10:46 exactly, and that means it's time for our feature
Anglia
In Focus,
where we talk to various organisations and individuals across the East Anglian region. And we have talked to lots and lots of people in all sorts of occupations and organisations across the East Anglian region over many, many weeks. And today, it's my pleasure to introduce a true entrepreneur of East Anglia in the media industry. And that individual is Ray Anderson, who's a director of the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe, who I hope is on the line right now. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning to you.
And are you okay?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Yes, not so bad, thanks. Not so bad. Now, the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe, quite a story to that, because I understand that many years ago, before you actually sort of got involved with the Spa Pavilion, it was literally derelict, wasn't it?
It was. It was empty for, I think, nearly two, or well, certainly for two seasons, maybe three summers, I think. It was a lovely, well, it's a lovely building, first of all, built in 1937, just before the Second World War. It's got art deco features, and it's right on the ocean front. So when you walk along the, when you stroll along the seafront there, it's set in these beautiful gardens area, and it really is a lovely place to visit. And when I saw it all boarded up in about what 20 must be about 2013, I suppose it was, I thought, what a shame. And then I saw an advert in the local newspaper saying they were looking for people to take it on. Anyway, we negotiated with the council for, I think, nearly a couple of years. And I famously managed to buy it for £1. How about that?
Hey, that's great.
But there was a proviso that we had to spend quite a bit of money on refurbishing it. So although we bought it for £1, you know, we had to get our checkbook out straight away and start doing a lot of refurbishment, painting and decorating and all sorts of things.
I'd imagine that, as you say, it was closed for a considerable amount of time, and it must have been quite a big operation to actually renovate it, wasn't it?
It was, but luckily, the previous stage manager, a guy called Roger Miller, sadly no longer with us, he lovingly, when it was a mothballed, he used to go down there and paint it and put the heating on so that things didn't go all mouldy, and he helped us enormously by managing us to get the doors open again. And we spent about 6 months, I think, painting and doing some plumbing and some electrics and all sorts of things. And of course, it has a couple of restaurants, so being on the seafront, it's quite nice to sit somewhere and have your fish and chips. If it's a nice day, you can sit outside in the sunshine, and if it's one of those windy days when the northeasterly wind blows from Siberia, then you can sit inside and watch all these fabulous ships on the horizon. I always say that there's always something to look at when you look out to sea, because it's in Felixstowe. It's as you know, probably the biggest container port in Europe. So you're always seeing these massive container ships coming in. We see naval vessels and tugs and ocean liners and all sorts of cruise ships coming in. So people sit there with a cup of coffee, and the skyline is changing constantly. It's really nice.
It's a fantastic venue. As I say, I've been there many, many times, and when it was under previous ownership, and always enjoyed going along there to the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe. Now, tell us about some of the productions which you've had or which you're going to be getting.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we do a few of our own productions, not as many as I'd like, because sometimes they don't really, because they cost a fortune to put together. We don't really make a lot of money out of them, apart from the pantomime every year, because obviously that's a lifeline for most theatres in the country, because it brings in a lot of people around Christmas time, New Year, who want to come to the panto. But we get a lot of touring acts, and coming up in June, we've got people like Jules Holland there. That's almost sold out. I think we might have a couple of odd seats here and there. But in the past, I mean, a few weeks ago, we had the Zombies there, which was amazing. I sat in awe. There was Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent on the stage. And, of course, having grown up in the 60s and heard all this music first time around, it was amazing to see these two guys still going strong. And Colin's voice is still amazing. And Rod Argent's organ and keyboard playing was just like listening to the original record. It was just... So I get these amazing things. We've had the Searchers there. We get Leslie Garrett, if people like, you know, sort of more operatic type music. We've got Jim Davidson coming up in the new year. And every year we seem to get Jimmy Carr, whether we want him or not. he always brings in a lot of customers. So we don't complain. So it is lovely. It's you know, a continuing, changing landscape of shows that come and go, and great entertainment. We had a lovely tribute at the weekend for Michael Jackson, which brought in about 350 people, and it was just such a fabulous tribute that, you know, you really thought you were looking at the original Michael Jackson, which of course nobody can anymore. But some of these tributes, they go to so much trouble to replicate the original artist that I'm just in awe most of the time. And the musicians we get there, you know. And I was doing some sums the other day, and I'm rather proud of this. I think we've been open for about nearly 7 years. I know we had to go through COVID, which wasn't very nice. But in those years, I think we've given about £1.5 million to all these performers. So this money will filter through to live musicians. We always think live music is so amazing.
Absolutely.
It goes to singers. It goes to musicians, dancers, choreographers and comedians. And I'm rather proud of the fact that, you know, our local community, by supporting us, we're able to support all these wonderful performers who, you know, go all over the world, some of them, and that's how they make their living out of suitcases and performing in small theatres like ours. And I think that's a fabulous thing to have done. So, and if you said to me about my career, I often say to people, I think I'm very lucky to have been able to... I'm not very well known, but I've managed to work in film, TV, radio and theatre. And I don't know how I've done it. I don't know how I've done it, but I have. And I've had just a lovely career. I mean, I'm past retirement age, but who cares? I love what I do, so who wants to retire?
Hey, I'm in the same situation, actually. I'm way past retirement age also.
Yeah. I know. But I think it's what keeps us going, you know. The fact that you get up in the morning and you have something to do. I remember my dad. He died last year, and he was nearly 95. And he always said to me, "Keep your brain occupied." He always said to me,
yeah.
"Have something to do," you know, even if it's just working something out. So I get up in the mornings now. Sometimes I get 50, 60 emails a day to go through, sorting out this, sorting out that, meeting with people, and. It's not light work to me because I just enjoy it so much. So I never sort of, I might get exhausted at the end of the day, but it's always been a pleasure and it's been fun, you know.
Now, before we go any further, I want to talk about quite a few other things as well, if we have the time, which I'm sure we have.
Sure.
Can we, first of all, give out some contact details for people wanting to find out more about productions taking place at the Spa Pavilion?
Of course. The best thing is just to Google Spa Pavilion Felixstowe. But if any of your lovely listeners have a pencil and paper, it is spapavilion.net. That's what you need. And there's only one L in Pavilion. I often want to put two, but I can assure you there's only one L in Pavilion, as I'm sure anybody that's good in English will know anyway. yes, spapavilion.net is the way to find us. And it's very simple. You just click on shows and they all come up in chronological order of what's forthcoming. But we try and get, you know, maybe 6 or 7 shows a month. Some months we go a little bit quiet around Christmas time. I think people want to go to the theatre more when it's winter time and autumn. We go a bit light normally in the summertime. We're a little bit lighter with not so many shows. I think on a nice, hot, sunny day, people don't want to sit in a theatre. Although we have got lovely air conditioning now, which was put in during COVID, which is a welcome surprise.
It sounds absolutely great. Now, you mentioned your involvement, obviously, in all sorts of media over the years, and I can remember quite a few years ago coming down there to Frinton, actually, to Walton Road, and you're based there, of course, for East Anglian Productions, which was a massive organisation providing all sorts of services across the media industry, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, we had our pirate radio customers. I mean, they were people that were just potty about Radio Caroline.
They were the days.
Yeah, they were fabulous. So we ended up. I think I was lucky because I had six studios there, and I always seemed to keep them busy. You know, we had TV production, we had duplication, we were making radio commercials for commercial radio. We never seemed to have any downtime. But if we did have a quiet day, I would then go and work on a documentary, say, about Radio Caroline. I remember we spent months and months and months making this 8-hour documentary, which ended up on six CDs and came out in the 90s. But it still sells today. You know, I often, you know, pop one in a jiffy bag and send it off to a customer. It's a very definitive documentary about the Radio Caroline, of course, and it's got all the interviews with all the people that founded it and the DJs that worked there and all the ups and downs and the tribulations. It's a fascinating story, and luckily there were thousands and thousands of people that were following pirate radio in the 70s, 80s and 90s, less so now because I think a lot of them are sadly no longer with us, but we had a very healthy business. So in a typical week, I was making a TV commercial for Anglia Television, doing four or five radio ads for commercial radio, then doing some of these documentaries. And we just kept busy, you know. I tried to get some time off at the weekends, but it was a lovely business. And again, something I thoroughly enjoyed doing. I mean, with the TV ads, I was working with people, and I'm going to sound like a name dropper now, but I was working with people like, you know, Cilla Black and all the, you know, the Lenny Henry and all these sort of people, Warren Mitchell and all these people that were coming in our studios. And some of them I was going to London because sometimes it was easier just to hire a studio in London and do the recording and then do the post-production back at my studio. So I was all amongst it and having a whale of a time. As I said, none of it ever seemed like work. But I suppose, you know, having done that all my life, I didn't really court much sort of publicity myself. I tended to be happy to be in the background until I started a radio station called Big L 1395, which was on medium way from Holland and on Sky Digital, and then I became a DJ.
And you also got involved with RSLs, didn't you? Literally,
yes.
I think
recreated ones, recreations.
That's
of
right.
Bunsen, yeah, which were tremendously successful, and we brought out a lot of the old DJs, you know, like Keith Skews and Ed Stewart and Tony Brandard and Mark Rome, and we ended up with a lot of the original DJs. We even had some of the founders of Radio London come over from America to visit us and be a part of it. So I think we did a really good job on that. And there are DVDs.
Yes, absolutely. I've got most of them.
And if people don't want to buy them, there's loads of stuff on YouTube to Google and have a look at. So.
Yeah, there certainly. Now, I understand that, I'll name drop a little bit now, but Chris Carey and Steve England also, of course. I understand you know Steve.
Yeah, I did some work with Steve. Well, I he got me on Radio Atlantis, which was a pirate station in 1974. So he was out there on the ship, and I used to send him a weekly program, which I recorded in my studios, and I'd send a tape over, and they'd play them. So I was on the Pirates in the 70s. That's how I got to know Steve. And then he also organised some jingles for me, recorded in Dallas when we did Radio London in 2005. So Steve's a great guy, and of course he's all over all the jingles. He knows just about everything. Very knowledgeable and some good product, you know.
Certainly. Now, I'd like to ask you, do you really have a favourite singer?
Oh,
Is that fair to ask that? I know there's thousands and thousands.
They come and go, but I have to say, I do like the Beatles. I always loved the Beatles from the 60s. I was lucky that I used to do, when I was on the air, I was on the air for about 3 years, and I used to do a weekly Beatles show for an hour, and I absolutely loved that. And I even got a listener to send me in a Beatle wig, which I used to wear when I was doing the program. just to look stupid, that was all. But I used to have a lot of fun doing that. I think I always gravitate towards the Beatles. But I do like some of the modern stuff. I mean, I did like Lady Gaga stuff, probably still do, you know, and, you know, Ed Sheeran and stuff. I mean, there is good stuff out there. I used to like people like Duffy and, oh, my gosh, you know, loads of stuff, loads of stuff. I'm lucky that I do like all types of music. I can sit down and listen to some country and western music. I wouldn't list it as my favourite, but I can listen to it. Even classical music. I think I've got a very wide liking, and middle of the road, Frank Sinatra. I mean, if you look at every style of music, you'll find something there that is absolutely a masterpiece. But as I say, I always gravitate back to those Beatles songs and the stuff that came out.
Wonderful days. Yeah, they were. Wonderful days. Now, what about, I'll put you on the spot again here. What's would you think is your most treasured album, be this on vinyl or CDs? Is there any particular one in...
Well, yeah, I always say this, and I think it's got to be the Beatles and Sgt. Pepper. I remember hearing it for the first time when the pirate radio station Radio London played it in, I think, May 1967. They'd got hold of a copy, not in legitimate ways, but they'd managed to get hold of a copy of a tape, which they managed to get out to the ship, and they very famously played this tape for the very first time. They played the whole album in entirety with Ed Stewart and John Peel, late John Peel. They just played it and played it, and I remember sitting there with my tape recorder, because they'd been trailing it all day saying, "We'll have the brand new Beatles album tonight at 5 o'clock," and I'd got my tape recorder out to record it, and I just remember the excitement of listening to anything that was from the Beatles. And of course, Radio London, when they did close down for the final time in August 1967, their last song they played was A Day in the Life. And whenever I hear that, I just love that song, and I love Ringo's drums on that. He's got some really big, beefy sounds that he's got out of those drums, and I just love the way that song is composed. I think it was two songs which were stuck together to make one. There's some lovely stories about it if you research it, but that album will always be my favourite album.
That's your favourite?
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper, all the time.
Now, I can remember that when you had the base in Frinton, you actually ran a radio station, Mellow 1557, I can remember that.
We did. Yeah, they were there for 5 years, and they took up two of my studios. As I said, I had six studios, and I was quite happy to have all six studios earning me money, so that was quite good. And I did a weekend show. I did a breakfast show at the weekends, and then I said to the bosses, I said, "Can I do a special sort of breakaway program at the weekend, which we'll call Jukebox Memories?" And we ran that for about 18 months, and that was with all the old Pam's pirate radio jingles, and we really made it sound like a pirate station at the weekends, and it was very popular. We started to become more popular in the weekdays, which wasn't very popular with some of the other disc jockeys. But we did do very well on that, and that's really where I learned so much, because I was on the air so much. You know, before I'd done Mellow, I'd never spoken into a live microphone before, which was, I'd always been able to hide, and if I did a recording, I could stop the tape and do it again. But I suddenly realised there's a certain feeling when you're on a live microphone.
Yeah,
you've got to be able to switch that microphone on, and it's got to be as perfect as you can get it every time. Otherwise, you're going to sound a bit of a fool.
That's right.
Once I switched to live. I never wanted to record anything again because I just thought it was amazing, and it really did sharpen up the adrenaline. I think I got very focused. That, oh, it's got to be good. It's got to be right first time, you know. Mm-hmm. As I said, in when I was recording stuff, I could always say to in my head, oh, well, if it's not any good, I'll record it again and chop out that bit and stick it next to that bit and it would be all right.
Yeah, the joys of editing.
Indeed. And then I think I was then bitten by the radio bug, and then I wanted to start my own station. So I went and started a station in Spain for a little while, which wasn't too bad. It had some famous DJs that I sent down to Spain, but because of the situation down there, they weren't really licensing stations, and then you could get raided, and I thought, oh, you know what, I think I've had enough of this. So I gave that up for a while. Then I ended up doing the Big L 1395 from Frinton, which was with people like Mike Reed, who had done the breakfast show on Radio 1, very famous broadcaster, and we had people like David Hamilton and Randall Lee Rose, and we had some real... Pat Sharp came and did some programs and managed to get Ed Stewart back. That was always wonderful to me because having been in awe of all the Radio London disc jockeys, you know, like Kenny Everett and Tony Blackburn and all those, Ed Stewart, whatever, I actually got to employ these people.
Brilliant, yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them I actually came and worked for me, which I thought was amazing, especially when they were your heroes when you were a teenager. You know, I thought that was absolutely amazing. I loved that.
I can remember also meeting Bill Rollins and Paul Graham, of course.
Indeed, yeah. Bill worked for me for 10 years, and then Paul used to come and do little... he'd fill in when I had extra work. He'd come and work on projects. He did help a lot with some of those documentaries I was talking about earlier. He'd sit in the studio for hours and hours and hours editing those and mastering them all up. Because, I mean, they were a labour of love. I mean, it wasn't about how much money we were going to make, because we spent thousands of hours, and you can imagine studio time, labour time, just to make them as polished and as professional as we could get them. And it was a lovely thing to do. And I think the tribute is, you know, some 20, 30 years later, these CDs are still selling. You know, we still sell, we don't sell thousands, but, you know, they still trickle out in the mail every week, you know, earning us some money. So it's good.
That's great. Now, the other thing is the technical side of radio particularly has changed, and I mean you mentioned that live radio is definitely, you know, the plus as regards as regards to being on air. Now I absolutely detest recording radio programs. I call it robot radio.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
and voice I hate that. Voice tracking. Yeah, I absolutely hate that. So I agree 100% on that. Now, the technology, of course, when we used to have turntables that you had to queue up and cart machines, and I can remember you had some Pi mixers, audio mixers, down there at Walton Road. And absolutely fantastic technology. And these days, of course, it's all computer this and computer that, and it's okay until the whole lot crashes.
I know. Well, do you know what? Those Pi mixers, I remember we put them on air for Mellow, and they worked for 5 years, and I never lost them any airtime in 5 years. That we may have had some power cuts, and we may have done some maintenance, and we'd switched them into the spare studio, but they never failed. They were switched on for 5 years when Mellow was there. And they never once failed. I did have to clean the faders occasionally and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What I liked about them, they had those, they were very simple. They had a lovely big PPM at the top, a stereo PPM, which is like a VU meter, but better. And they had what were called Penny and Giles faders. And I used to always say to people, how can you go wrong with an Ernest Turner PPM and a Penny and Giles fader? You know, you can't really go far wrong. And it proved the point. I think Pi stuff, which was made in Cambridge at the time, was, you know, top of the game, because they also made broadcast cameras and all sorts of TV gear as well, and they were really top of their game.
Yeah, well, it's strange that you're talking about these things called PPMs. I mean, I'm actually operating on an Alice sound deck, and that's got PPMs on and penny and Giles faders, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's oldish technology now, but it keeps on working.
Well, if I said to you, I've got a little box full of Gates turntables, which need a bit of refurbishing. They need a bit of, painting. But when I get a spare weekend, my plan is to get a couple of these working again.
Brilliant.
And maybe an old cart machine as well.
Yeah.
And put together a retro studio just for the sheer hell of it, because I love queuing up vinyl, and I've got thousands of discs which never get played. It would be a lovely thing to do, actually. If I was running a radio station, I would have what I would call an all vinyl weekend.
Brilliant.
With a couple of turntables, and do it by the seat of my pants. Just sit there. If I make a mistake, I wouldn't care, because it would be live radio, and I think that would be compulsive listening, in my opinion, in this day and age.
I couldn't agree more, because I'm looking at a turntable which is here in one of the studios of East Point Radio right now, and it's one of these instant start ones and everything else, absolutely first class. Decent cartridge in it and everything else for the audio, and it works absolutely wonderfully well, and I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
No, I totally agree, and I know there are advantages of using computers and everything, but I suppose because of our generation and what we grew up with, it means a lot to us, I think.
Certainly does. Now, can we reiterate the contact information for the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe for people wanting to find out more about productions taking place there?
Sure. Either Google Spa Pavilion Felixstowe and it will come bang up in your face, as it were. Or if you just put into your browser there, Spa Pavilion, and Pavilion is with one L, .net, spapavilion.net, you'll find all the fabulous shows. And if you are coming to the theatre for the first time and I'm in the building, come and say hello. That goes to any of your lovely listeners.
Certainly will, Ray. And what I'm going to do now is something that I didn't tell you about, but I'm going to play you one of the jingles that you recorded for me on a Ewer tape recorder many, many years ago at Walton Road.
Oh my God.
I've slightly repackaged it, but I'm just going to play that right now.
The Mark Lindsay Morning Show.
It's radio!
I don't know if you remember that.
What a voiceover that guy's got. So, and a fortune with a voice like that.
So I thought I must put that one in. I was very pleased that you did actually record me quite a few different jingles,
which I still use. I did thousands for DJs, because I used to do them, I think, for about £1 each, and they'd have 10 at a time, and they would send me all these scripts in, and I used to sit there doing thousands of them. This would have been in the 70s more.
Times to remember, that's the thing. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, Ray, can I thank you for joining us on East Point Radio today? It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you again and to find out all about the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe, and obviously to have a chat about Days Gone By and East Anglian Productions as well.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And if you do get down our way again, let me know in advance and I'll try and show you that lovely view I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I might even treat you to a cup of coffee. How about that?
Hey, that sounds good. I will definitely keep you to that, I'll tell you. I'll keep you to that,
Thanks,
Ray.
A lot. So, lovely to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you. Thank you very much, Ray. Cheers.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye. There we were talking to Ray Anderson, who's the director of the Spa Pavilion Theatre in Felixstowe. Not only were we talking about that, but we're talking about, obviously, all the other involvements which Ray Anderson has been involved with across the years, and certainly a true entrepreneur of the East Anglian media scene. This is East Point Radio. It's 11:15.